An official warning that really, financial markets should worry more about hackers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and the economy. What's called a black swan event is when something hard to predict rears up and creates extreme havoc. Now the man who runs an international umbrella organization for financial markets is quoted warning about future cyber attacks. Financial Times reporter Sam Fleming obtained that quotation, and he joins us from London. Sam, good morning.
Morning.
Says here in the Financial Times, quote, "The issue of cyber resilience is a bit of a sleeper issue and one that we have to be proactive about." Sam, this is about cyber resilience and global financial markets. Who said that to you?
Well, this is Greg Medcroft, who's an Australian regulator, but he currently chairs the International Organization of Securities Commissions. Their concern is about the risk of a cyber attack on a major financial institution. We have seen some attacks already on some financial institutions, and the securities regulators are worrying that this is going to become more and more of a present danger.
Well, you would have seen there was that story that surfaced this summer that a few years ago, Russian hackers may have gotten into the NASDAQ market computers. They did not create havoc, but it was concerning when authorities spotted them there. An attack like that could turn bad.
This is exactly the sort of thing they're talking about. IOSCO did a very interesting survey of stock exchanges around the world. More than half of them had been on the receiving end of a cyber attack in the previous year. So this is a real issue for stock exchanges, for other big financial institutions, fund managers. They're all potentially at threat, as well as their customers, and the regulators around the world are trying to figure out what to do about it.
In the United States, the SEC is asking what? For more information from some parts of the financial markets about their vulnerabilities?
Earlier this year, the SEC got in touch with around 50 broker-dealers and investment advisors, effectively asking them, what are your processes? How do you prevent attacks? What kind of measures do you have in place to minimize the risks to your firm? What IOSCO wants to do is kind of replicate that model around the world so that they can bring a greater evenness to the regulatory response.
Financial Times reporter Sam Fleming speaking to us from London. Mr. Fleming, thank you.
Thank you.
IOSCO, by the way, is the International Organization of Securities Commissions. Now let's do the numbers. The DAX index in Germany is up 1%. Some financial market players were buoyed by comments last week by the head of the European Central Bank. He suggested the bigger danger is central bankers doing too little to boost the economies of the world as opposed to doing too much. The London Stock Exchange is closed today for a late summer holiday. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. There is the slow food movement. Then there's word now of a possible merger between Burger King of Florida and Tim Hortons of Ontario, Canada. Reuters is reporting the deal, if it happens, would move Burger King's tax headquarters out of the U.S. using a controversial but legal tax maneuver known as an inversion. These inversions allow corporations to escape high U.S. corporate taxes, but they do saddle shareholders with higher tax bills. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer explains.
95-year-old Lois Powers of Okoboji, Iowa, owns about $40,000 worth of Medtronic stock.
I've been buying it all through the years.
Medtronic is considering an inversion. It's a pharmaceutical and medical device company. It plans to buy Covidien, a surgical supply firm based in Dublin. Ireland has a lower corporate tax rate than the U.S. Medtronic's taxes would go down, but Lois Powers would spike up.
It'll be thousands.
That's because Powers will get stock in the new company created by Medtronic's merger with Covidien. To the IRS, it'll look like Powers sold her old Medtronic stock. She'll have to pay capital gains taxes on the difference between what she originally paid for the stock and what it's worth at the time of the merger. But the profit's all on paper. You haven't made a bundle of cash. Stephen Davidoff Solomon is a professor of law at University of California, Berkeley. He says, for example,
let's say you bought the stock at $10 a share, and now it's at $40 a share. The IRS will look at that as $30 of profit, and they're going to tax that at the capital gains rate.
Depending on your tax bracket, that rate can reach nearly 24%. Why is the IRS doing this to shareholders? Believe it or not, it's part of a 1994 law intended to discourage inversions. Robert Willens is an independent tax advisor in New York. He says the thinking was,
you know, no one will ever want to invert if we create this penalty, but it just hasn't worked out that way.
That's partly because corporations reimburse executives for any capital gains taxes they pay. Little guy investors aren't reimbursed, of course, but they don't protest. Willens says many don't realize they're paying higher taxes in inversions because they hold mutual funds, which just tally up your capital gains for the year without breaking it out stock by stock. And Willens says individual investors may be thinking the stock price will eventually go up because of the inversion.
Once it's all said and done, you know, we'll be happy that we bore this short-term penalty for the greater payoff that comes later.
But Lois Powers, our 95-year-old Medtronic shareholder, is skeptical.
I don't know that exactly, and furthermore, I probably don't have that much time.
Powers says she planned to pass the Medtronic stock on to her heirs, so she wouldn't have to pay tax on it.
This is money that I have put away for my elder years and for my estate when it's passed on to my children.
Now Powers says that money will take a hit. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
There's news. The pharmaceutical giant Roche of Switzerland is buying a California biotech company called Intermune for more than $8 billion in cash. Now, that's a significant amount of money for a company that's focused at the moment on but one promising drug, which treats but does not cure a terrible lung condition called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And new research out of the Harvard Business School in Wharton finds that asking for advice doesn't make you seem dumb, it makes you seem smarter. The fear of seeming dumb is, quote, misplaced, the researchers find. My gift for you this morning, if you're looking for work, is the reminder of the adage, if you want advice, ask for a job. If you want a job, ask for advice. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.